Lakers handle the Philadelphia 76ers 120-107, the final. Lakers 47-13 on the season. 47-13 on the season. 60 games in, 22 games left to go. And there are not, you won't have two bigger games coming up over the course of 3 nights or the course of 3 days. Lakers got the Milwaukee Bucks coming up and the Clippers on Sunday and did exactly what they were supposed to do against the Philadelphia 76ers. Sixers missing three starters. Lakers obviously getting Anthony Davis back. Only Alex Caruso didn't go tonight for the Lakers. And after that first quarter, you can look and say, all right, how are Lakers down seven? I know I was doing. I do those updates at the end of the first quarter and give up 35 points to the Philadelphia 76ers. Obviously, that's not supposed to happen. Even, by the way, even if Philly was fully healthy, the Lakers should still handle business, protect home court. Second quarter starts. Lakers go on a 37-19 run. Completely dominate in that second quarter. That's the difference of the game. That's what you're expecting from the Los Angeles Lakers. That's how it has to be against a team that's beat up as much as the Philadelphia 76ers are. And the Lakers did just that. How did they do it? How did they get there? Anthony Davis. AD tonight, I mentioned a couple times, plus 30 on the plus minus. Plus 30. And AD had a physicality to him tonight that was great to see. Felt like he had a chip on his shoulder that was fantastic to see. You felt LeBron James was playing on all cylinders as well. Avery Bradley had some great defense throughout the game. It's not a surprise. And I want to continue to emphasize that because this is what the Lakers are supposed to do. The big ones are coming. These two games coming up for the Lakers, I said this to Michael Thompson in the pregame show. I said that this is the biggest of the regular season, the biggest week in the regular season, especially this time of the year. As you start getting towards March, as we are now, you know what kind of team you have. You know the way you're built. You know what your strengths are. The roster is set. Maybe Lakers add one more player after waiving Troy Daniels on Sunday. But for the most part, this is what you're going to have come postseason. The big tests are coming. This was just that one game in the way before you get there. And to see the Lakers now, like I mentioned, 60 games in at 47-13. What a fantastic position for the Lakers to be in. Fantasy Springs caller of the game. Need a break from the everyday? Fantasy Springs Resort Casino wants to give you a two-night stay with dinner and golf or bowling for two. Be tonight's best caller and win 877-710-ESPN. Visit FantasySpringsResort.com to book today. Let's give this thing out today. Can we get some Laker fans to call into the post-game show? And we could talk about tonight's game. We could talk about Anthony Davis's performance. We can continue to talk about LeBron James and how ridiculous he's been all season long. And then we can also talk about the Bucks and the Clippers coming up. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. All right, head coach Frank Vogel spoke to the media. This is courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet. Coach talking about the Lakers' 13-point victory over the Sixers.
Hey, Frank, when the energy flipped and the defense and everything picked up in the second quarter, was that just organic or was there anything specific that you saw lead to the play change?
Well, I think we got down, you know, in a game that we know we had to win, that we should win with the amount of guys that they had out. And, you know, we knew that they gave the Clippers a problem, you know, 2 nights ago. So, you know, I think the fact that we got down and, you know, I think Avery Bradley's defensive tenacity, you know, during that stretch has set a tone for the rest of the group to get a lot of deflections. Anthony, you know, on the backside was a little bit of a recipient of us speeding up their offense and, you know, cleaning things up at the rim. And, you know, that was a great stretch for our team, for our season, you know, and, you know, to see us be able to take over a game like that, you know, is always a positive sign.
Frank, we've heard some consistent themes this season about encouraging AD to shoot more from the outside, maybe diversifying the place on the court where he gets the ball. Just his total offensive package, what can you say about that tonight?
He scores in a variety of ways. He's a threat in a variety of ways, and we are, you know, continuing to wind him up from the three-point line to be aggressive in those situations. And, you know, one of the best plays of the night was, you know, the defender, I think it was Mike Scott, racing out to Anthony after he knocked down two threes. And, you know, just the lane being wide open, and he goes and tears the rim down. You know, that's why we shoot threes with Anthony, you know, just to carry that threat. And then he brings gravity to everybody else attacking the paint. And if we can do that and have his length and another seven-footer out there on the defensive end, we can, you know, have our cake and eat it too, so to speak. We have the offensive spacing and we have the defensive length we need, you know, to reach our highest level. So that's an important part. But he was great in every way. You know, he settled, I think, on his first two post-ups, and the rest of the night it was about getting to the basket and with his drives too. So just a complete performance, a great performance, and big key to the win.
Hey coach, when you're playing a team that is missing players, sometimes it seems like maybe the team's playing down to the competition, but I think could it be more that they may just not have that kind of experience with those players? You as a coach may not know. You may not have coached against Shake Milton in a big role before, something like that. Am I onto something there? Is that reasonable, or is it just...
Yeah, there's a lot of factors that go in. It's never an automatic win when you have guys out, you know. And, you know, it starts with your human nature of, you know, playing a weakened opponent. You know, it carries on to the fact that the other team is going to have guys in there that, you know, have opportunities that they don't normally have. You know, so they're going to play with great energy and show their skill set. And then, like you alluded to, the familiarity piece is real. You know, and it takes a little while to get accustomed to the guys that you're guarding, that you're, you know, that isn't a 10-year vet that you've been playing. You know all his strengths, you know his tendencies, and all those types of things. And you know, we watch tape, and we show them tape, you know, of what it looks like. But it sometimes takes a little while, like tonight, to feel out those tendencies.
All right, that's head coach Frank Vogel, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet. Lakers continue to, I think in these games, I know so much of the time, and this is going to be the challenge the next two games, so much of the time we talk about how important and key it is for the Lakers to beat these big-time teams. But I think, look, even taking care of and handling teams below 500 or teams with injuries, that's important too. That's how you get to 47-13, and that will pay you know, come playoff time if the Lakers continue to hold that and obviously put themselves in a position with the number one seed in the Western Conference. All right, who should you call if you've been injured in an accident? You need to call the best in the business, the Wallace Firm. Why? Because Wallace wins. My guy Brad Wallace and his team of attorneys at the Wallace Firm will fight relentlessly to get you the compensation you deserve. And when Wallace wins, you win. Call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com. No win, no fee, so Wallace can win for you. Let's do this when we come back. As always, we love to hear from Laker fans. So coming up next, we'll take your calls on the Sprint hotline, the phone number 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. This is the Lakers postgame show on 710-ESPN.
Here's Neto with the crowd chanting defense. Neto dribbling left, stolen by Davis. Davis on a breakaway. Davis with Neto. Slam dunk again. 30-9. Anthony Davis has 26 first half points. Here's Glenn Robinson, blocked by LeBron, and that's the end of the half. The Lakers put a chokehold on Philadelphia in the last 5 minutes of the second quarter and lead 65-54 at halftime.
That was a big, big part of the Lakers taking control of this game. Block of the Game is brought to you by Emergency Services Restoration, the leader in water damage restoration, sewage mitigation, and mold containment. Emergency Services Restoration, it's a slam dunk. That was LeBron with a block in that specific play. LBJ had two blocks tonight. Anthony Davis, two blocks of his own. Lakers, six blocks total, 6-1. So Sixers, just one block on the game. And that's a stat I love watching. And Lakers, there's been games, 9 blocks, 10 blocks, 14 blocks Lakers have had in a game. So obviously that's such a key stat for the Lakers on the defensive side. We know that for the most part, when Lakers do win big games, when Lakers win games in general, when they lock down on defense, there's a much greater likelihood they're going to come out with a W. That was obviously very helpful tonight against the Philadelphia 76ers. Okay, let's go to the Sprint hotline, 877-710-ESPN. Let's start off with Brian in Malibu. Brian, you're on the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
As you said, though, you know, I got the biggest two games of the season coming up. biggest knock on the Lakers has been that they haven't been able to win the big games. But, you know, I just want to ask, is it, you know, if they don't win in these next two games against the Bucks and the Clippers, is it time to panic?
You know, Michael Thompson and I were talking about this in the pregame show, right? And I appreciate you calling in, Brian. We talked about it in the pregame show, and MT predicts they'll beat the Bucks. He wants to see them beat the Clippers before he makes a prediction that they're going to beat the Clippers. So he thinks they're going to go 1-1 in these two games. I think it's a big deal. I really do. Especially that game against the Clippers. And that's not me downplaying the one against the Bucks, but the Clippers are in the West. They're in your division. You're going to face them to try and get to the NBA Finals. So no matter what, you're going to have to, you know, obviously, you're going to have to at some point face the Clippers to get to the NBA Finals. You're 0-2 against the Clippers. You should have beat the Clippers on Christmas night. So for me, I think it's a big game. I really, really do. I feel like these next two games coming for the Lakers, you want this at this stage of the season. You want that barometer. You want these statement games. I know for Michael Thompson, he keeps talking about how games like this in the regular season do mean everything, should mean everything. And we'll see. I'm a believer that it's the most important week for the Lakers this entire regular season. Obviously not talking postseason, just the regular season. So I think they're big. All right, let's continue to go to the Sprint hotline. Visit your local Sprint store today and find out how you can get $100 just for switching. Get a network built for unlimited and a great price at Sprint. Hurry in now through Sunday, March 8th to learn more. That's now through March 8th at Sprint. Get some great deals there. Let's go to Steven Cerritos. You're on the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, Steve.
How you doing, Alan?
Good, bud. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, my question is, Alan, what do you think about Kuzma? Is Smith, do we get Smith for insurance on Kuzma?
Well, I don't think, and I appreciate you calling in, I don't think Smith and I don't think J.R. Smith has anything really to do with Kuzma. Look, I've said this about Kuz. I'll continue to have this conversation about Kyle Kuzma. All I want to see from Kuz is just consistency. And I know a lot of people, you know, have brought to my attention, look, he's playing less minutes. This is tough for him because of AD and LeBron. And he's not ever going to get the, you know, the type of looks that he might get when one of those two guys are out. Okay, well, that's the predicament. That's the situation that the Lakers are in. They're 47-13 because AD and LeBron are on the floor. And there's ways to be effective on a basketball floor that doesn't all have to come from scoring. Kuz tonight, you know what I'd love to see from Kuz? I don't even care about the points. He was plus 18 tonight. Okay, that's fantastic. I'd love to see some steals, some blocks, some assists. There's other things you can do to affect a game. Kuz didn't shoot well. 3 of 10 from the field, 1 of 5 from the three-point line. So when people ask me about Kyle Kuzma, what do you think of Kyle Kuzma? First thing I would say after a game like tonight is, well, the Lakers won, so I care about that stat more than anything else. AD and LeBron were ridiculous. I care about those stats as well. And then you kind of start looking at some of the role players, and of course Kuz is a conversation that's always going to come up. How can it not? This was a player that, you know, everybody kind of labeled as the third best player on the team. I just want Kuz to be effective for the Lakers in any way possible. Help make winning plays, because there's already two superstars. There are no superstars on this team after LeBron and AD. Vincent, you're on the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, Vincent.
Hey, Alan, I love your show. I listen to it all the time. Glad to be on with you.
Appreciate it.
Listen, I just wanted to, of course, chime in on Kuz, and nothing negative. I like that he's trying to affect the game in any way he can. But my point is, from what I've seen from the Warriors game to now, I think the Lakers are using him ineffectively, as far as at least on the offensive side of the ball, where he comes in with the second unit and Rondo. Kuz is not an effective scorer in limited minutes, limited touches. He's a volume scorer.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to try to get him the ball maybe, you know, in isolation, maybe two or three times while he's on the floor with Rondo, instead of just being a straight spot-up shooter. And that way he can drive the hole like he did against the Warriors and get some easy buckets, and then he'll be in rhythm in order to hit perimeter shots.
You know what's interesting, Vincent, and I appreciate you calling in. What's interesting to me is Kuz took 10 shots tonight. So that's the third highest total as far as shots go, 3 of 10. LeBron took 16 shots. AD took 19. Now, granted, LeBron and AD are going to get to the free throw line more than Kuzma is just because it's the name, and they're also going to be more aggressive trying to get to the basket. Kuzma's probably going to rely more on his outside shot. If Kuz takes 10 and LeBron takes 16 and AD takes 19, I'm not mad at that, you know. Of course, AD and LeBron James are going to get their fair share. They're going to eat first. All the time, they're going to eat first. And Kuzma's going to come in, have to come in after that. Maybe worried is not the right word, but I'm not as concerned about Kyle Kuzma. Kuz is going to just have to figure things out. The team's not going to adjust to Kuz. Kuz is going to have to adjust to this team. And tonight, and I don't want to go too far off, because I thought Anthony Davis and LeBron James were amazing tonight, and I think those two players, they're going to have to be amazing against the Milwaukee Bucks this Friday. They're going to have to be amazing this Sunday against the Los Angeles Clippers. And those two players, of course, are going to kind of always carry the Los Angeles Lakers, and the bench players and the role players are just going to have to find ways to be effective for this team. Maybe it's scoring, maybe it's charges, maybe it's defensive rebounds, maybe it's assists, maybe it's block shots. Whatever it is, they're just going to have to find ways to be effective. That completes a team. You got your two superstars. Everybody else has to kind of fit in from there. All right, let's hear from the man. The absolute man, Anthony Davis, when we come back. AD's line, 37 points, 4 steals, 2 block shots, 13 rebounds. Shot ridiculous percentage from the field and from the three-point line. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Lakers post-game show on 710 ESPN. Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint, locally owned, manufactured, and operated. And with over 1,300 Vista Paint colors, your perfect paint expression is at Vista Paint right now. And don't forget, visit VistaPaint.com for your discount color sampler. Lakers dominate the paint, 62-34. A lot of that has to do with Anthony Davis. AD tonight with 37 points. Here's Anthony Davis inside the locker room, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet.
AD, Frank was just talking about as your three-point shot has developed this year, and he's encouraging you to take him, that kind of example in the first half, where then you got the up fake and you drove him for the dunk. Just how much have you seen that grow as part of your game, and what do you think the impact of that is on the defense?
Just being confident with it, you know, just trying to be confident with the shot, trusting my shot. You know, I put a lot of work into it, and it's just about taking game reps and, you know, work on it before every game, every day before practice. And, you know, I just, over the last probably month and a half, you know, I've just been very confident with it, no hesitation to shoot it. And like Coach said, you know, it opens up the floor for me, opens the floor for the team, get a space where teams are not helping as much. And, you know, when I'm able to knock down a couple, I'm able to show the pump fake and then drive and get a, you know, a layup or a pass for my team. So, like I said, just still being confident for the rest of the season and through the playoffs with the shot.
There were all kinds of highlight plays, many of which came from you and LeBron tonight. What sense do you get of the impact on the crowd and how you can ride that for momentum?
Yeah, anytime we make an impactful play, the crowd gets into it. We kind of feed off that energy. You know, they've done a great job all year of, you know, supporting us ups and downs. And, you know, it's our job to try to, you know, make impactful plays, not just for the fans, but for our team, and then get our team going, you know, which will get the fans going. So we had a couple tonight. I think, you know, my favorite is, you know, when Bron shot it from the other side of half court, lock it down. And, you know, our celebrations is just, you know, just having fun, you know, me, Danny, and Vail. Trying to find where he shot it from and, you know, stuff like that. Just, you know, being together, staying together and having fun with it as well.
So you were, like, looking for evidence on the floor?
Yeah.
Is that what?
Yeah, nobody knew what he was doing. We kind of know when he's going to do it, usually when he had, like, a couple in a row. You know, that one, I think I just made one. I was running down, and I was, like, expecting him to throw it to me, and he just pulled up. And so it kind of, like, shocked all of us, and he made it, and we all like, all right, where did he shoot this one from? So just try to have fun with it.
What's your confidence level when he pulls from that dude?
Oh, very confident. He's made plenty of those against me in my career before I got here. So I know if it goes up, it has a high percentage of going in. And he actually he worked on those shots. And so any shot that he works on, I'm very confident he makes. And you know, especially when in a rhythm like that, you know, a lot of teams don't think he'll make it or it's a good shot for him, but he makes it more than he misses.
Coach telling you that when you're shooting threes, how much that opens up the offense for you guys. When you see it working, when you see how well it works, what does that do for you in terms of being willing to do that more and to understand?
It's just about, you know, me, I'm the type of player to try to, you know, play within a game and take the right shots. Even when I think I might be open or the team might think I'm open, I don't really think I'm open sometimes, and you know, I try to make the you know, the next play, you know, the right pass or drive, or you know, sometimes I might pump fake myself out of a shot. So like I said, it's just having the confidence of just letting them fly. And I've been doing that, you know, a lot. Just, you know, if I'm open or got a little space in rhythm, then I'll shoot it and just try to have the opponent, you know, respect me more from out there. But also, you know, I don't like to get too comfortable out there where I'm just standing behind the line looking for a shot. So it's got to be a balance, and I think I've done a pretty good job with that.
Last two questions.
When you got a chance to go up against one of the great centers and he doesn't play, you good with that, or you would prefer to see him in there?
And that's on them. I mean, he has to get healthy. And I think he's battling like some shoulder stuff. So no matter who's on the floor, we're going to play our game.
How did he in particular get you going in that second quarter? You really 7-for-7, all over the place defensively. Anything kind of change for you?
The defense, you know, the crowd, my teammates, you know, I started off really slow, missing some easy shots wide open, and you know, just trying to figure out, you know, how I can, you know, kind of get myself going. And you know, it started with the defensive end, you know, coming out and just being hungry defensively and making the right plays. And then, you know, that leads to our offense. And once, you know, one guy got it going, kind of contagious, and we all just kind of got it going on offense. And but it started with our stops. You know, we were able to get some great stops, some big stops, and you know, make some, you know, great plays on the offensive end. So, you know, anytime we get our defense going, our offense going, that's, you know, coming from defense, you know, we're a pretty good team. So we just got to make sure that we, you know, keep playing defense and keep blocking teams up. And it makes it easy for us on offense.
All right, that's Anthony Davis inside the locker room. So his stat line, ridiculous tonight. Plus 30, 37 points, 13 rebounds, the four steals and the two block shots, like I mentioned. 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of the postgame show. Jay in Pasadena, you're on the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, what's up, Alan? First of all, I really respect your show, man. I appreciate everything you said, and I can tell you're a true Laker fan. But I got to call you out, man. We're three quarters of the season away, and you're still saying you have hope for Kuzma, or you're not worried about Kuzma.
I'm not worried about Kuzma tonight. I'm not worried about Kuzma tonight. I had two callers call in to talk about Kuz. I just didn't feel like there's a conversation about Kuz tonight. You know what I mean? And that doesn't justify that Kuzma doesn't have to be big and needs to be big as the season progresses. I'm kind of done hearing the excuses about Kuz. Either he's going to do things that are effective on the court, or he's not going to do them. And I don't think he does that enough on a consistent basis.
But I mean, all right, just given the numbers, he's shooting 21% from three in the last 12 games. He's giving you 7 points. He's giving you single-digit points with 20-plus minutes a game. I mean, when does it come to the effect? When does it come to the point where we just need to move on from Kuz potentially being that third option that we want him to be, and regret the fact that we didn't package him up in a trade and get something that could help us win this championship? Because that's what it's all about, right?
Well, I'll tell you this, Jay. I'm not under the belief that Kuz is the third player that you can depend on. I think I got more confidence in KCP in some nights, Alex Caruso in other nights. Danny Green needs to be a little bit more consistent, but I'm not under the belief that Kyle Kuzma, I think what we've seen so far this year, that kind of inconsistent play, sometimes he looks lost, other times he looks like he's on point, that's kind of Kuzma. Like, do you think that's going to change come postseason or in the playoffs? I don't think that's going to change.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
I appreciate you calling in. The point that I was making earlier is, you know, to have a Kuzma conversation tonight, here's AD that had this performance. You got the Bucks and the Clippers coming up. That's what I was referencing to a little bit earlier. I just didn't feel like, all right, having a conversation about Kuzma on a night where really he was not much of a factor, probably unnecessary. All right, LeBron James, we'll hear from him and the Lakers, 13-point win over the Sixers. Plus, we got to talk about this Bucks and Clippers. Bucks specifically, because that one's coming up on Friday. How big do you think that game is? How big are these next two games for the Lakers? I'm a firm believer that these regular season games, especially this time of the year, are remarkable barometers. So we'll talk about that coming up next. 877-710-ESPN. This is the Lakers postgame show on 710-ESPN. Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by VistaPaint, locally owned, manufactured, and operated. And with over 1,300 VistaPaint colors, your perfect paint expression is at VistaPaint right now. And don't forget, visit VistaPaint.com for your discount color sampler. Lakers dominate the paint 62-34. A lot of that has to do with Anthony Davis. AD tonight with 37 points. Here's Anthony Davis inside the locker room, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet.
AD, Frank was just talking about as your three-point shot has developed this year, and he's encouraging you to take him, that kind of example in the first half where then you got the up fake and you drove him for the dunk. Just how much have you seen that grow as part of your game, and what do you think the impact of that is on the defense?
Just being confident with it. You know, just trying to be confident with the shot, trusting my shot. You know, I put a lot of work into it, and it's just probably taking game reps and, you know, work on it before every game, every day before practice. And, you know, I just, over the last probably month and a half, you know, I've just been very confident with it, no hesitation to shoot it. And like Coach said, you know, it opens up the floor for me, opens up the floor for the team, get a space where teams are not helping as much. And, you know, when I'm able to knock down a couple, I'm able to show the pump fake and then drive and get a, you know, a layup or a pass for my team. So, like I said, just still being confident for the rest of the season and through the playoffs with the shot.
There were all kinds of highlight plays, many of which came from you and LeBron tonight. What sense do you get of the impact on the crowd and how you can ride that for momentum?
Yeah, anytime we make an impact, we play, the crowd gets into it. We kind of feed off that energy. You know, they've done a great job all year of, you know, supporting us, ups and downs. And, you know, it's our job to try to, you know, make impactful plays, not just for the fans, but for our team, and then get our team going, you know, which will get the fans going. So we had a couple tonight. I think, you know, my favorite is, you know, when Bron shot it from the other side of half court, lock it down. And, you know, our celebrations is just, you know, just having fun, you know, me, Danny, and Vail. Trying to find where he shot it from and, you know, stuff like that. Just, you know, being together, staying together and having fun with it as well.
So you were, like, looking for evidence on the floor?
Yeah.
Is that what?
Yeah, nobody knew what he was doing. We kind of know when he's going to do it, usually when he had, like, a couple in a row. You know, that one, I think I just made one. I was running down, and I was, like, expecting him to throw it to me, and he just pulled up. And so it kind of like shocked all of us, and he made it, and we all like, all right, where did he shoot this one from? So just try to have fun with it.
What's your confidence level when he pulls from that deep?
Oh, very confident. He's made plenty of those against me in my career before I got here. So I know if it goes up, it has a high percentage of going in. And he actually he worked on those shots. And so any shot that he works on, I'm very confident that he makes. And, you know, especially when in a rhythm like that, you know, a lot of teams don't think he'll make it or it's a good shot for him. But he makes it more than he misses.
Coach telling you that when you're shooting threes, how much that opens up the offense for you guys. When you see it working, when you see how well it works, what does that do for you in terms of being willing to do that more and to understand that?
It's just about, you know, me, I'm the type of player to try to, you know, play within a game and take the right shots. Even when I think I might be open, or the team might think I'm open, I don't really think I'm open sometimes, and, you know, I try to make the you know, the next play, you know, the right pass or drive, or, you know, sometimes I might pump fake myself out of a shot. So, like I said, it's just having the confidence of just letting them fly. And I've been doing that, you know, a lot. Just, you know, if I'm open or got a little space in rhythm, then I'll shoot it and just try to have the opponent, you know, respect me more from out there. But also, you know, I don't like to get too comfortable out there where I'm just standing behind the line looking for a shot. So it's got to be a balance, and I think I've done a pretty good job with that.
Last two questions.
When you got a chance to go up against one of the great centers and he doesn't play, You good with that, or you would prefer to see him in there?
Yeah, that's on them. I mean, he has to get healthy. And I think he's battling like some shoulder stuff. So no matter who's on the floor, we're going to play our game.
How did he in particular get you going in that second quarter? You really 7-for-7, all over the place defensively. Anything kind of change for you?
The defense, you know, the crowd, my teammates, you know. I started off really slow, missing some easy shots wide open, and, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, how I can, you know, kind of get myself going. And that was, it started with the defensive end, you know, coming out and just being hungry defensively and making the right plays. And then, you know, that leads to our offense. And once, you know, one guy got it going, kind of contagious, and we all just kind of got it going on offense. And but it started with our stops. You know, we were able to get some great stops, some big stops, and you know, make some, you know, great plays on the offensive end. So, you know, anytime we get our defense going, our offense going, that's, you know, coming from defense, you know, we're a pretty good team. So we just got to make sure that we, you know, keep playing defense and keep blocking teams up. And it makes it easy for us on offense.
All right, that's Anthony Davis inside the locker room. So his stat line, ridiculous tonight. Plus 30, 37 points, 13 rebounds, the four steals and the two block shots, like I mentioned. 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of the postgame show. Jay in Pasadena, you're on the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, what's up, Alan? First of all, I really respect your show, man. I appreciate everything you said, and I can tell you're a true Laker fan. But I got to call you out, man. We're three quarters of the season away, and you're still saying you have hope for Kuzma, or you're not worried about Kuzma. In the last,
I'm not worried about Kuzma tonight. I'm not worried about Kuzma tonight. Like I had two callers call in to talk about Kuz. I just didn't feel like there's a conversation about Kuz tonight. You know what I mean? And that doesn't justify that Kuzma doesn't have to be big and needs to be big as the season progresses. I'm kind of done hearing the excuses about Kuz. Either he's going to do things that are effective on the court, or he's not going to do them. And I don't think he does that enough on a consistent basis.
But I mean, all right, just given the numbers, he's shooting 21% from three in the last 12 games. He's giving you 7 points. He's giving you single-digit points with 20-plus minutes a game. I mean, when does it come to the effect? When does it come to the point where we just need to move on from Kuz potentially being that third option that we want him to be, and regret the fact that we didn't package him up in a trade and get something that can help us win this championship? Because that's what it's all about, right?
Well, I'll tell you this, Jay. I'm not under the belief that Kuz is the third player that you can depend on. I think I got more confidence in KCP in some nights, Alex Caruso in other nights. Danny Green needs to be a little bit more consistent, but I'm not under the belief that Kyle Kuzma, I think what we've seen so far this year, that kind of inconsistent play, sometimes he looks lost, other times he looks like he's on point, that's kind of Kuzma. Like, do you think that's going to change come postseason or in the playoffs? I don't think that's going to change.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
I appreciate you calling in. The point that I was making earlier is, you know, to have a Kuzma conversation tonight, here's AD that had this performance. You got the Bucks and the Clippers coming up. That's what I was referencing to a little bit earlier. I just didn't feel like, all right, having a conversation about Kuzma on a night where really he was not much of a factor, probably unnecessary. All right, LeBron James, we'll hear from him and the Lakers. 13-point win over the Sixers. Plus, we got to talk about this Bucks and Clippers. Bucks specifically, because that one's coming up on Friday. How big do you think that game is? How big are these next two games for the Lakers? I'm a firm believer that these regular season games, especially this time of the year, are remarkable barometers. So we'll talk about that coming up next. 877-710-ESPN. This is the Lakers post game show on 710 ESPN.